Well, I appreciate the Lord this morning so much. Just want to give Him all the days of my life. We heard in Sunday school this morning that if the Lord gives you something as a minister, you better give it. And so I'm going to give you what the Lord gave me this morning. I wrote on the board, "Be ready." And I was thinking a little about being ready for the Lord to come. And I was thinking about our life and how we don't know. We don't have any idea about tomorrow. We can be strong today and the next day not be able to get off our back. We can be healthy and well and going all around one day and the next day be gone. That happens every day all over the world. I feel like the Lord just gave me a little warning for us this morning. You know, we all want to meet the Lord in peace. But that's a call that is given to you and me. It's not for our brother, our sister. Even God Himself will not do that for us. He'll help us with it. Our brother and sister will help us. Our mother and father will help us if they're around still. But you know, there's only one person that can see that we're ready, and that's us. We ourselves, each one of us, have to be ready to meet the Lord. We have to make sure that's taken care of. We do that because of our own volition, of our own will, of our own mind. We know we must be ready. And so because we know that, we listen to the Lord dealing with us. And we hear Him. And we make sure against that day that our conscience is undefiled, that the Lord has forgiven us all of our sins, and that we're living for Him. You know, that's our job, and God has given that to us. And this morning, I want to look at a few scriptures and a few things that tell us and warn us and help us. I feel like I know the Lord gave this to me this morning, and I want to share it with us, and I want us to take it to heart, because God put all of His Word in there for us to hear it, for us to profit by it, for us to be prepared when He comes again. The Lord wants it to be that way. And so He gives us His Word. And He tells us in Luke 12 and 40, He says, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." Now, you know, what's that mean, at an hour that you think not? You know, the Son of Man comes for people all the time at an hour when they don't think that it could come. I'm healthy, I'm well, I'm driving down the road. Cameron Johnston just got in a wreck the other day. Thank the Lord, he's a lot better. But, you know, he was just driving, and as I understood it, a car came over into his lane or something. He had to swerve out of the way. He got in a wreck. It happens that fast. And the Lord said, and He told us, Jesus told us this. He said, "You be ready, because the Son of Man cometh at an hour that you think not." And when the end of the world comes, we're all going to be working. We're going to be doing. We're going to just be, some are going to be sleeping. Some are going to be working. The world is going to be traveling right on. And the Lord is going to come when they don't have any idea that He's going to come. And dropping back now, I want to read a little before this. Starting in verse 35, it says, Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. You know, we don't relate to this nowadays. But there was a time, and in some places it still is, when the master of the house, if he comes back, he expects the lights to be on. He expects things to be ready, and his servants to be ready when he opens the door, or to open the door for him, or however that goes. And he told us here, he said, you be ready and you have your loins girded about. You know, I was reading in one of the commentaries, and it was talking about this loins, that they had long garments, down long, and they would have to tuck them up. And they still do that, I believe, in India some, and maybe other places. And they'd have to tuck them up before they could run or something like that. He said, I want you to have yours already tucked up. I want you to have your lights burning. I want you to be ready when I come back. Whether it's at noon or at night or whenever, I want you to be ready. And so he said that wait for as men, and ye yourselves liken to men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. You know, the watches, the second watch of that time when the Romans were in charge of Israel to some degree, the second watch was from 9 to midnight. The third watch was from midnight to 3 a.m. It's a time you wouldn't expect somebody to come. It was a time that you wouldn't expect the master to come at that time. But he said, and if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. You know, if people knew when the thief was going to come, they'd be sitting there waiting, wouldn't they? They'd have their lights on, and they'd be ready for this thing. They'd be ready to ward him off. But he says, I want you to be ready like people are if they think the thief's coming. But the thief don't come at that time, does he? He comes like a thief in the night when all the lights are off and things are... They think somebody's not home or something like that. That's when the thief comes. And the Lord is telling us, you don't know when I'm coming. And you don't know when I'm coming for you. You be ready all the time. Be ready as if you was being ready for that thief that you didn't know when he was going to come. Have your lights trimmed and burning. I want to read in Acts 17 and 26. Listen to this little set of scriptures here. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Did you know the Lord's not far from every one of us? He isn't far away. There isn't a one of us. Here Paul was writing, the Lord's not far from every, none of us. There's none of us that the Lord's not just pretty close if we start humbling ourselves and calling. And it says, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought... Well, I'm going to drop on down. The Godhead... We ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And you know, for many countries, especially in times past, idol worship was a big thing, especially at this time. And it says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day. And this is why. And I want us to take this to heart this morning. Every one of us, I keep this in mind through my life. He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. You know, he said he's appointed a day where he's going to judge the world in righteousness. I want to look a little farther, and I want to look at what this appointment calls for. Because the Lord leaves us in His Word, He leaves us a description of what this appointment is going to be like. He leaves us a little word of what His coming back and His returning is going to be. In Matthew 25 and verse 30, we find a little description. It says here, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in." If we drop on down to verse 41, now here we see the judgment scene, and the Lord said He's going to separate the people out, and He's going to put the sheep or the people of God on His right hand, and He's going to put the people that serve the devil on His left hand. And now in verse 41, He goes on to tell us a little more. And you know, it's important for us to understand these things, because we live in a world where everything is okay. Everything is, you know, we'll fix it. Whatever it is, we'll just get it fixed up. But I want to tell you something. The Lord has given us His Word and told us what's coming. And He's left it to you and me to get ready for that day. There isn't any of us that can blame it on anyone else. There's not a one. Because the Lord gave that responsibility to you and to me for our own soul. And He says here in verse 41, "Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." You know, that part always frightened me. You mean the Lord prepared this place for the devil and for the devil's angels? And He's going to put me there if I don't serve Him? I believe that. That's what He said. That's what He said. He said, "Depart from Me into everlasting fire." You know, this morning, we can't afford to play lightly by this thing. We can't afford to live life just for this life. Because there's going to come a day where it talks about everlasting fire, into the fire that never shall be quenched, the Bible says. And you know, when I think about that, I think, I have to make sure this man's ready. If nobody else is ready, I have to be ready. Because I don't want to meet that. I want to meet the Lord in peace. You know, this morning the Lord wants to deal with our will. He said one place, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." You know, the Lord wants to reason with us this morning. He hasn't told us, "I'm going to be mean to you. I'm going to throw you. There's nothing you can do." No, He said, "Come. I'll take your sins. I died for you. I'll make your place for you. I'll help you with this. I'll forgive your sins, and they'll be as white as snow." You know, the Lord wants to give that to us this morning. But He tells us and He gives us these warnings that we might be ready and that we might know. I will know when I meet the Lord. If I'm not ready, I can't blame that on anybody but me. Because God gave that to me. I have to be ready. I have to be ready. We've got to be ready for this time, folks. That means that we live every day of our life for that time. We live every day of our life in readiness. Lord, if You come today, I want to know that things are right with You. looking over at Mark 9 and 43. Mark 9 and 43. Listen to what the Lord, he has some drastic words here he uses. And if thy hand offend thee, he says, cut it off. And if it is better, listen to the way he reiterates this through this saying, because he was the Lord of life and he's telling us and he's giving us fair warning. And he says, it is better for thee to enter into life maimed, crippled, than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. I can't argue with that, folks. The Lord said it. Whether I like it or not, I'm going to meet him on these terms right here. And it says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life, or crippled, than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He keeps reiterating this. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You know, that strikes terror in me. And I hope it does in you too. Because I'm going to meet this day. I want to be ready for that day. I say it strikes terror. I'm aware of it. I don't mean I live in a terror of it, but I'm aware of it. And I would be in terror to think that I would meet the Lord in this way. He says, it's so important, he says, because see, this thing don't quit. And he says, it's so important that if it's your eye, pluck it out. If it's your hand, cut it off. If it's your foot, cut it off. Now, I don't think he's talking about physical things. He's talking about us cutting off anything that is that important to us in our life. If we have things that we just have to have, it's as important as my eye. It's as important as my hand. He said, cut it off. Cut it off. That's for you and me to do. Cut it off yourself. Cut it off, that you might be saved in the day of judgment. You know, this morning, I believe this. I'm convinced of it. And I want to be ready. It's better to enter into life a cripple. It's better to enter into life just barely making it. One eye, one hand, one foot. Jesus said it's better. It's better than to go to that place. He gave us warning. And you know, this morning, all of us, this is good for saints all too. We want to keep in mind, we don't ever want to let this thing become second place instead of first place. Because if we do, we run this same risk. We're not immune to this thing. In Luke 12 and 4 and 5, he said here, I'm going to read a number of scriptures this morning. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. Has anybody ever not served the Lord out of fear? Fear of what somebody would do to them? It happens in foreign countries all the time. Fear that someone may take their life. Fear that someone may take their job. Don't have a way to make a living anymore. He said, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. Now, we don't really fear that here, do we? We just fear somebody not liking us. Somebody saying something ugly about us. Something like, that's not very big, folks. Not in relation to eternity and hell and heaven and all those things. And he said, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. That's what Jesus told us. You fear him. You fear God more than whatever you might fear in this place. You fear him. In Matthew 13 and 41, we find here, it says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know how many places it mentions wailing and gnashing of teeth in the New Testament? Several places. Wailing, that means crying out, and gnashing of teeth, he says. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. What does he mean by that? Who hath ears to hear? It means if this means something to you, better listen up. Better make the changes necessary. Better cut the hand off. Better pluck the eye out and go through life maimed than to enter into this place of hellfire someday. I will tell you, the Lord gave me this message this morning. I don't know why, but I want to tell you, the Lord wants to bring it home to our hearts. He wants us to be ready, folks. He wants us to be prepared for that time. Ready for that time. Ready that if he should come in the second or third watch, in the middle of the night, when there's nothing going on, really, he wants us to be ready at that time. That means all the time. In Matthew 25, I want to read another description. Matthew 25 and 1. Listen to what the Lord, he gives another little description of the coming of this time. And he says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, mind you, they were virgins. They were not defiled with the world. They were not defiled. But he said they didn't take any oil with them. They had no light. They had no something burning in their heart and life. Salvation, living, burning. The Spirit of the Lord working. And it says here, they took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Why were they called wise? Because they knew they were going to need it. And they made sure they had it. Folks, this morning, we need to make sure the oil burns. We need to make sure our light burns. We need to make sure the Lord is living in our life and our heart. This isn't just for rank sinners. Folks, this touches you and me. I was reading as I was sick in Revelations there to the churches. And I will tell you, it settled upon me a very heavy burden, realizing, you know who the Lord wrote to? He wrote to the pastors of those congregations. They were responsible. And folks, I feel responsible this morning. I'm responsible to bring the word of the Lord. I hope if the Lord would come now, that he would look at our congregation. I hope he could write us a commendation. You know, I feel responsible. I felt like the Lord, I was reading that, just put that, I felt it come on me. I want to be responsible as a right minister. Someone that gives the word of the Lord from the Lord, in the Spirit of the Lord. And so this morning, I want to be faithful to us. It would be easy to tickle ears, but I want to tell you, I want us to be ready. I want our congregation to be alive and hot for the Lord. I want the Lord to be living in our hearts and lives, number one, front and center, not somewhere back yonder. We want the Lord to be that. We want to have the truth. The Word of God dwelling in our midst in its fullness. We want that, don't we? It says here, the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps while the bridegroom tarried. And you know, he told us it was going to be like this. He's going to go like a man traveling on a far journey, and suddenly he's going to return, and we don't know when. He's tarrying right now. He's been away for a while, hasn't he? But he's coming back. And I'll tell you, he told us some signs of the time. And it looks to me like things are really ripening up. It says here, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, hey, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Whose job was that? To care for that lamp. Whose job was it in the temple to make sure that something that indicates this, the lamp of God never goes out. Through the thousands of years, through the hundreds and hundreds of centuries anyway, we see where God wanted that lamp lit all the time because He lit it and He never wanted it to go out. And you know, this morning, we have a lamp to keep too, don't we? And it's our job. And it's not anybody else's job. It's not the pastor's job, and it's not my brother's job. It's my job. It's your job to keep your lamp lit. It's your job to keep it trimmed. It's your job to make sure there's oil in it. And we can do that. It's not something that's beyond us this morning. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, the other folks that had not defiled themselves with the world, the other folks that were clean people. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You know, this to me is a real wake-up call for all of us. The Lord sent it to us. Make sure your lamp is full of oil. Make sure it's burning brightly. Make sure it's trimmed at all times. Something happened here. It says, the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. You know, this morning, I want to hit on a little something. I want to tell you, there is in the world today a most hideous doctrine that once we get saved, we don't have to worry after that because the blood of Jesus carries us all the way to the grave. I want to tell you, this scripture defies that. And it tells us here, it says our lamps are gone out. At one time their lamps were lit and something leaked out. Something got used up and they didn't replenish it. And the master came and it said he shut the door. And they were without. And he said, I know you not. Now I want to tell you this morning, there's plenty of places. I want to read a couple of other scriptures with that this morning. We don't want to trust that something, somehow, sometime is going to carry me to the judgment. In Revelation 3 and 5, it says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Now, it indicates that somebody's name could be blotted out. It could be that the oil leaks out, the oil gets run out and not replenished, and their name gets taken out of the book of life. And it says here, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. In Revelation 22 and 18, listen to this. The devil, I will tell you, is a master at convincing people, persuading people of some kind of deception. He's a master of deception. And if he can't get us to just go outright and sin, he'll get us to try to take the name of Christ and believe that somehow, forever, that will cover my sins. I want to tell you, it's not so. In Revelations 22 and 18, it says, "For I testify unto every one that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." I want to tell you this morning, God will take our name out of the book of life. He's told us he will. And so we have to keep our experience up to date. We have to keep in a place with the Lord that we're ready. It's not good enough that we were ready when we were young or at some point in our life. You know, we just read this here, and I won't spend much more time here, but it speaks of the coming of Christ. And it gives two other scenarios in Matthew 25. Matthew 25 tells a number of different things about the coming of Christ. And, you know, I just think about this. The Lord has to be in his people, as we said a while ago, front and center. It has to be number one. If we have it any other way, it won't work. The Lord has to be number one. He has to take the first place when it comes to things that we do out in the world. He has to be first. He has to be number one when we have to make a decision. Well, what should I do? Well, what does the Lord say about it? That's the final word, what the Lord says in our life. I was thinking, as I was studying on this, I've been working on this for a few weeks, I was thinking about an older minister that failed the Lord. And he got down toward the end of his way. And he didn't trust God like he knew he should. And he had convictions. God had dealt with him. But a younger minister was talking with him. And he said, I couldn't die right then. He said, I had feelings in my heart. This younger minister told me this, that the older one told him. He said, I had some feelings in my heart. You know, that'll keep us out of heaven. You know, that's something that will cause the Lord to leak out of our life. And if we let that grow, it will eventually cost us our soul. If we have things in our heart that we need to clear up, if we've taken things that are not ours to take, whether personally or business, we need to restore it. We need to give it back. That's what the Lord's going to require at the judgment day. It's somebody else's. It's not ours. We need to give it back. If we owe someone an apology, we need to make it. Don't you know the Bible says, owe no man anything? This is what it's talking about too. Don't owe them an apology. Don't owe somebody some love that you should have shared with them. You know, the Lord, his way is not a hard way. As we do these things, it's like oil flowing through our life. It enlivens our life and our spirit. It blesses us and gives us joy. It gives us peace right where it counts, right down here. You know, and it gives us peace all around us. The Lord wants to do that for us this morning. If we have in our hearts the golden wedge. Now, we read about here folks that were virgins, okay? You know, if we have the little golden wedge, the Lord told Joshua to tell the people, you go take Jericho and don't take any of their gold, any of their things, as I remember it. And you know, they came back, and what was their one man? His name was Achan. And he had taken some things the Lord said, don't take. You know, this morning, we're going to stand before God. We're not talking about wanting to put ourselves under a microscope. Surely there's something. But listen, folks, Achan knew he did exactly what God said not to. And we know too. And you know, this morning, if we've taken a wedge in our life, it's not going to get past God. We're not going to be ready when He comes again. Get rid of that thing and repent of it. The Lord wants us to be ready to meet Him. Don't take something on hand that He's told us plainly, I don't want you to have. If we have hidden in our hearts a grudge, this minister I was talking about, we all knew him, or the older ones. I will tell you, we take a grudge in our heart, it defiles us. The Lord tells us to get rid of that thing. Don't take that golden wedge into our heart. Maybe we think it'll make us feel better. It's the only thing we can do is at least have a grudge. At least we can hate them. At least we can feel bad. No, I want to tell you something. You want life. You want peace in your heart and in your life. Get rid of the golden wedge. Get rid of the grudge. Put the Lord first. Make Him front and make Him center in our life. And I will tell you, you will find joy bubbling out from time to time in your life. You will find the Lord giving you many blessed things, right regularly. It's the way of God. I want to read a few other scriptures. And 2 Peter 3 and 9. Listen to what he tells us about that great eternity and that time. And I'm glad he told us now, because I need to know it. I'm glad I know it. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is not willing for any of us to perish. He'll give ministers messages for us so we won't perish. He'll talk to us in the night in dreams so we don't perish. He'll put blocks in our road so we don't perish. The Lord's not willing for any of us to perish. He tries to draw us to Himself. But listen to what He says. But that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now here we are over here. Peter's telling us about it now. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. You know, that's going to be some time. I had a dream one time that the end of time had come. And I was ready. And I ran. I saw coming. I saw the skies begin to change and all of these things. And I saw coming across the horizon this mansion. And it was coming as swift as light or something. I mean, as swift as it could be. And I just started running toward it. And I woke up. And I could just almost feel myself taking off the ground. But you know, the day of the Lord's going to come. All of a sudden, I was going into a trailer in my dream. Or standing, I think I was fixing to go in. And here I started seeing the skies change. And everything began to happen. All of a sudden. And that's the way it's going to be. All of a sudden, it's going to be here. And then we're going to say, surely, Lord. But it's going to be too late, folks. The Lord's giving us our warnings now. And He says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Talk about cutting an arm off, a hand off, an eye out. I tell you, Peter's telling us the same thing. What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You ever looked at that? Without spot, without any spot. That's talking of a spot of sin. A spot of the flesh that becomes sin. That won't stand in the presence of God. You know, we can be that way. We don't have to sin. We don't have to do wrong. We don't have to disobey God. Do we have to lie? Do we have to steal? Do we have to lust? Do we have to do all those things? We don't have to do those things, not by the grace of God. And the Lord tells us here through Peter, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. In Revelation 20 and verse 12 is another little description. And I saw the dead, small and great, everybody. Nobody was too small, nobody was too big. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened. What do you reckon those books are? Which is the book of life. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. You mean God's right taking notice? You mean he's keeping track of where we're at, what we're doing? That's what it says. According to their works, that's what he was keeping track of. Now, is this just a salvation of works? No. But I will tell you, the grace of God wants us to have his grace in our life. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, that's kind of a terrifying thing. But another scripture in Revelation says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, that's not talking about God's people wailing either. I want to read two more places, maybe. Luke 13 and 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. What does straight mean? S-T-R-A-I-T. It means difficult, doesn't it? Narrow. It's not easy for everybody to get in. You got to get humble and be willing to do anything God wants you to do to go through that gate. And then it opens right up to you. It says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. It's difficult because it's difficult for us to humble ourselves, to give up our ways, to give up our things. But you know, he told us to strive to do that. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. Lord, we've sat right there. We felt the presence of the Lord so many times in our midst. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. You know, this morning I just want to leave us here to take these thoughts home with us. If the Lord's spoken to your heart this morning, and you feel like you need to pray, we'll pray with you here this morning. We want to be ready. We want to be ready. Be ready. The Lord gave you a little message. I know he did. Be ready. Be ready. Don't let there be anything that would keep us from that. 1 Thessalonians 5, one more scripture here or two. 5 and 2 and 3. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I want us to keep that in mind. I know we live in a world that is trying to fix all its problems and all those things. But I want to tell you, the Lord said, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction is going to come on them. I don't know altogether what that means, when they say peace and safety. But I want to tell you, I believe it's a time of security when it seems like everything's going to be well. Then it's not. So this morning, the Lord tells us to be ready. Be girded about and have your lights burning. Is that too hard to do? It's a joyful life. It's something God gave His people. It's not something that we cannot I've got to live for God. I want to tell you, God made us to be satisfied in our souls, and He wants to give us those things this morning. Lord, help us each one to be ready.